Blog Talk Radio.
Network Tuesday Night Teachings with your host, Lester Carver. Tonight we're going to be discussing Christian stewardship, but before we get started, I'd like to open with a word of prayer and a song of praise. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that's going to go out tonight, God. I thank you for your goodness and your graciousness in our life. I thank you for your mercy, God. Father, I thank you for the desire to come to you, coming from you, God. I thank you for you having sent your son, Jesus Christ, so that we could live life more than abundantly, mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally, and financially, God. Father, I thank you for us glorifying you in the earth as we draw all men, women, and children to you so that they can be in relationship with you after we introduce them to your son, Jesus Christ, and they make him their master. I thank you for this right now. In the name of your son, Jesus Christ, amen. We're going to listen to the song of praise by Jason Nelson, Shifting the Atmosphere.
Shifting the atmosphere.
Shifting the atmosphere.
Till the heavens.
Choosing the
end.
Somebody just help me say that.
It's moving and it's breaking. My brain is shifting the atmosphere. Every oath will be destroyed.
I believe it.
Every chain is broken. This worship is shifting the atmosphere.
Help me say it.
It's moving and it's breaking. Our praise is shifting the atmosphere.
It's moving
and it's breaking. This worship is shifting the atmosphere. One more time.
Worship has power. Whenever things don't feel like you think they should, don't get mad. Don't cuss nobody out. Don't hang up the phone. Worship. If you could just get you out of the way enough to lift your hands and say, God, I need you right here.
You'll be shifting the atmosphere.
Cried myself to sleep. Don't know where my son is. He's been gone for 3 days. I may call the police. Yeah. But before I do, I'm going to lift my hand. Because in my worship, they'll find him alive and well.
And you'll be shifting the atmosphere.
Pain in my body. Doctors don't know what it is. They tell me just take this medication and that gives me another problem. And they say, take this, that, and that gives me another problem. But the next time I go to the doctor, before I walk in the room, I lift my hands.
And I'll be shifting the atmosphere. For breakthrough and healing. Our worship is shifting. Shifting. Shifting the atmosphere.
Welcome back to Spirit Alive Network Tuesday Night Teachings with your host, Lester Carver. Tonight, we're going to be discussing Christian stewardship. And we're going to be discussing Christian stewardship because it's about our heart for God first. It's about the time that we spend with God and in God's Word second. And then it's about our resources. Our money, third. And when we have our heart right in terms of loving God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, loving ourselves and loving others, then that is going to be manifest in where we spend our time, how much time we spend praying, how much time we spend fasting, how much time we spend studying God's word, how much time we spend fellowshipping with like-minded believers, how much time we spend witnessing Jesus Christ to the lost. Then next, in our resources, in our money, in us extending to others who have need, the hand of God, so that they can experience God's goodness far before they experience relationship with God, far before they experience God's face. They experience the hand of God through our love walk as we give to the poor. It says when we give to the poor, we're lending to God and God will repay, right? When we are helping those who don't have to eat, who don't have to drink, who don't have places to stay, who don't have clothes to wear. And when we see this level of Christian stewardship in our life, then we're going to see God being glorified, to be rewarded here on earth and in eternity. Tonight, we're going to be discussing some ideas that are going to be shared in the scripture. And we're going to start in the New Testament, in the Old Testament, I'm sorry. And then we're going to move to the New Testament, to what is specifically written to us. Now, in the Old Testament, what we're reading is oftentimes the law of Moses, which is written to the children of Israel. And God is speaking to the children of Israel, specifically in the Old Testament, because those are his chosen people. That is the bloodline through which Jesus Christ came into the world. And God protected them. He introduced the law to them. He shared his heart. He committed himself. He betrothed himself to Israel and established his way and his purpose. But now in the New Testament with us, after having sent his son Jesus Christ to die on the cross so that we could live life and live it more than abundantly, he is showing us the fulfillment of everything he was talking about in the Old Testament. So when we read directives in the Old Testament, they're specifically written to us for us, whereas what we read in the Old Testament is written for our learning so that we can of what God is telling his people to do and understand that those principles apply, but in the context of the new and present truth of the New Testament after God paid to restore his people and redeem his people through the blood and broken body of his son Jesus Christ. So I want to start tonight's teaching about Christian stewardship in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28, verses 2 to 8. And what it says is, "And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you, because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, and the increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle, and the offspring of your flocks. Blessed shall be the basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. The Lord will command the blessing on you in your storehouses and in all to which you set your hand. And he will bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you." And this is God speaking to his children, the children of Israel, before he brings them into the promised land. And what's fascinating here is in this first line where it says, "And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God." See, obedience to God's voice is, it invites the blessings of God into our life. and allows those blessings to come to us and overtake us. See, the things that the world is chasing after, we don't have to chase after. We don't have to be greedy graspers. All we have to do is seek to please God, serve God, trust God, and obey God. And it says the blessings of God will come upon us and overtake us. And it almost, to me, it sounds like a tsunami. Have you heard of a tsunami? And it overtakes the land, right? Think of the blessings of God like that when you obey the voice of God. And then it says, blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. So it doesn't matter where you are. It matters that you're obeying the voice of the Lord, and you will be blessed. His blessings will find you wherever you are, and they'll come upon you and overtake you. And then it says, not only does it matter where you are, but blessed shall be the fruit of your body. So your children will be blessed. Your grandchildren will be blessed. Your great-grandchildren will be blessed. It says the produce of your ground and the increase of your herds. So what you grow to eat and the herds that you would actually raise and cultivate, their increase would be blessed. And it says that the increase of your cattle and the offspring of your flocks. Now, you know, this was an agrarian society. These people were nomads at the time. And so what they grew from the ground mattered. Their flocks reproducing was key to their wealth and their livelihood. And so God is saying, look, those things that come from your body, your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, the produce of the ground, the increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle, the offspring of your flocks, these things will be blessed too. And then your basket and your kneading bowl will be blessed. And you'll be blessed when you come in and blessed when you go out. And now God says, look, I'll even cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face. Now, all of these things here in the context of these verses are speaking about God's response to us obeying his voice. Now, it's speaking of the children of Israel specifically, right? But what we'll see later is as we obey the voice of the Lord, the blessings of the Lord overtake us and they come upon us in very much the same way. And then God says, this is how I'm going to deal with your enemies, is when they rise against you, they'll be defeated before your face because I'm going to cause them to be defeated. And then they might come at you organized all in one direction, but they're going to flee before you seven ways. And it's because they're coming against the power of God in your life. You'll think it looks like one enemy, but it's actually coordinated forces because they want to make sure that they have everything they need to subdue the power within you. But when you see them flee, you're going to see that coordinated effort. You're going to see them flee before you seven ways, and you're going to know it's the power of God that resisted them and not your own abilities. And then it says, the Lord will command the blessing on you and your storehouses and to all to which you set your hand. So when we work heartily as unto the Lord. We want to do our best for God because God says all to which we put our hand to will be blessed, and our storehouses, and he will bless you in the land which the Lord your God has given you. So God has given you a vision. God has given you a purpose. God has given you direction, and God is going to bless that when you obey his voice. Look at what it says in Deuteronomy 28:11-12. It says, and the Lord will grant you plenty of goods in the fruit of your body, in the increase of your livestock, and in the produce of your ground, and the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. The Lord will open to you his good treasure, the heavens, to give the rain to your land in its season, and to bless all the work of your hand. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. Now, this is a fascinating thing because God is telling his people, this is how much I'm going to bless you. And we need to be blessed, because people need to understand that our Heavenly Father, God Almighty, is an awesome God. He loves his people greatly, and he deserves all of our love. And his son, Jesus Christ, is equally incredible in that he obeyed God in everything and is our master. He is our example. He is the one that we follow. And God has given him all power in heaven and earth and under the earth so that he could place that same power of the Holy Spirit within us so that we could help fulfill the purpose of God of reconciling the world back to God. And in doing that, we're going to be blessed because when people look at us and they see how blessed we are, they are going to want to be as blessed as we are. They're going to know and understand that there's a difference between being a Christian, being a child of God, and not being a child of God. And if God has given them the desire to come to God, understanding the desire to come to God comes from God, then when they come in our path, we're going to have to see that as the assignment that it is and know that it's our job to introduce them to God's Son, Jesus Christ, so that they can make Jesus Christ their master and come and be introduced, brought before the throne of God, covered by the blood of God's Son, Jesus Christ. Look at what it says here in Deuteronomy 29:9. It says, therefore, keep the words of this covenant and do them, that you may prosper in all that you do. Now, once again, this is an Old Testament scripture, right? But obedience is still the context. God is not teaching us disobedience now. He's simply saying, look, I know that when you don't get it right, the blood of my son, Jesus Christ, is powerful enough to cover all of your sin, and the mercy that I give you every day covers that. Because I know you're going to need it. And we have to understand that as we keep the words of the covenant and do them, as we allow the word of God to penetrate our heart so that our heart is in alignment and harmony with God, then we'll prosper in all that we do. Once again, here's another scripture from the Old Testament, Joshua 1:8. It says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. And what I want to discuss first is this idea of good success. It says, when you meditate on the word that does not depart from your mouth, day and night, and you observe to do according to all that's written in the word, you'll make your way prosperous and you will have good success. Meaning, you could have bad success. You know what bad success is? When you're successful at what you do, but what you do owns you. So it's the tail wagging the dog. You don't own your business. Your business owns you. Therefore, you have no time for God. And basically, it is the result of serving mammon and simply meaning to realign your priorities so that your heart is to love God with your heart, soul, mind, and strength, to love yourself, not kill yourself chasing a dollar, and then to love others so that you're available for your family, you're available for your wife, you're available for your children. And then you'll see that manifested in the way that you utilize your time, because God will have your first and your best of your time. Your wife will have your first and your best of your time. Your children will have your first and your best of your time. And then those that God has assigned you to will have the first and best of your time. And then you'll find that you have money, you have resources, ample resources, because God says when we seek first the kingdom of God and the righteousness, then all the things that the world chases after, God gives us, right? That's what good success looks like. Having the more than abundant life means that you don't just have some money. You have mental wellness, mental wholeness, physical wholeness, emotional wholeness, physical wholeness, and spiritual wholeness. and financial hope. See, that's what good success looks like. That's what prosperity looks like. Prosperity is having enough of God's provision to fulfill God's purpose in your life. And all areas of your life, mental, physical, spiritual, emotional, and financial, are sustained. Look at what it says here in 1 Chronicles 22:13. Then you will prosper if you take care to fulfill the statutes and judgments with which the Lord charged Moses concerning Israel. Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be dismayed. See, this, once again, is still written in the context of the Old Testament to the children of Israel who are under the law. So this is before Jesus Christ died and rose again. But the principle remains the same. When we obey God, we'll prosper. God tells us he wants us to be strong and of a good courage. We are going to be reading from the New Testament. He tells us, do not fear, do not be dismayed, just as he spoke to his people in the Old Testament, to his people in the New Testament, just through the power of the blood of Christ. Look at what it says in Job 36:10-11. It says, he also opens their ear to instruction and commands that they turn from iniquity. If they obey and serve him, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasure. So it's God that opens our ear to instruction, right? As we make ourselves available to God's word, and then we know that God commands us to turn from iniquity. That's what it means to repent, to go from going that way to going the other way. You can't head in the direction of sin and in the direction of God. Either you're coming nearer and nearer in relationship with God or moving in the other direction. So it says, if you obey God and serve him, you will spend your days in prosperity and your years in pleasure. That's Job 36:10-11. It's still in the context of the Old Testament, right? Look what it says in Proverbs 11:24-25. It says, there is one who scatters yet increases more, and there is one who withholds more than is right, but it leads to poverty. It says, the generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters will also be watered himself. But look at this. There's a Jewish saying that says that there is a poor man who has his hands full of everything he owns, even the wealthy man whose hands are completely empty, and yet he has more than enough, right? And so this says there is one who scatters, yet increases more and more. One who has trained himself to distribute. So that when they're blessed, they allow the overflow to sow into the lives of others, right? And then it says there's one who withholds more than is right, but it leads to poverty. See, you can only hold so much as it is. And the more you hold on to, the older it gets, the more useless it becomes. It's not fulfilling its useful purpose. It's become an idol to you, right? But this says the generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters will be watered himself. So we have to learn from these principles. Now, this is the last Old Testament scripture I'm going to share with you here, and it is in Malachi 3:8-9. Actually, we're going to read a couple more. It says, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Right? Now, this is the last portion of Scripture in the Old Testament. Look at what it says here, Malachi 3:10. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this, says the Lord, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out such a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. So what God is doing is he's challenging his people and saying, look, you robbed me of tithes and offerings, but now bring the tithes into the storehouse and see what's so that there's room, there's food in my house. And then he says, try me, prove me. Take me at my word and see if I will not reward your obedience with opening the windows of heaven and pouring out such a blessing for you that there will not be room enough to receive it. And many of us in a crisis might say, why would I want a blessing bigger than I could receive? You say that being selfish. But the idea is that the overflow from your life is designed to pour into the lives of the other people who connect to you so that your blessing and the overflow of your blessings because of your obedience and example becomes their blessing. And not only do they get your physical blessings, they get the blessing of your example of learning how to obey God also. Look at what it says in Malachi 3, 11 and 12. It says, "And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts." So has anyone ever had a financial increase of any kind, and then you have some unfortunate circumstance where a tax lien or a levy or a big bill or an auto accident or some problem with your car or some medical incident comes up and just steals all of that financial increase, as well as your physical health sometimes and some other things that are, you know, that we desire. God says he will rebuke the devourer for your sake. He will protect your increase. And then he will not destroy the fruit of your ground. He's going to preserve what you produce, right? He says your vine shall not fail to produce fruit in the field for you. And all nations will call you blessed, and you'll be a delightful land. So God's not, what I love about God is he doesn't ask us to enter into one-way agreements the way that unjust people in the world ask us to enter into, right? God's not like the devil. God says, look, I want you to test me so you can see my goodness so that you can love me as much as I love you, right? Look at what it says in Matthew 6, 20 to 21. Now, I'm going to go through these very fast because my phone is probably not going to last very longer, much longer, but watch what this says here. It says in Matthew 6, 20 to 21, "But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." So God is concerned. And remember, I said Christian stewardship is about having our heart in the right place first, then our time in the right place, then our money in the right place. This says lay your treasures up in heaven so that moth or rust don't destroy them, thieves can't. And then it says the issue is where our treasure is, that's where our heart's going to be. So if we have an antique vehicle that was given to us by our great-grandfather who passed away that we loved very much, and now that thing represent something to us and it's rusting and it's old but it's valuable, and our heart just thinks of how much we miss our great-great-grandfather whenever we see it or think about it, and that's what we think of, that's what we focus on everywhere we go, that's what we talk about, is this precious vehicle, right? But if our treasure is in heaven, our heart is in heaven, if we're concerned about seeking the kingdom of God and the righteousness of God, that's what we are longing after. And look at what it says, Matthew 6:33. "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." All the things that the Gentiles seek after will be added to you when you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And that's where our heart needs to be. Look at what it says in Matthew 10:8. "Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give." See, it's that level of doing for others what was done for us. We were children of God. See, someone healed us, someone cleansed us, someone raised us, someone cast demons out and delivered us. And it says we receive freely, give freely, right? It's a change of heart. Matthew 19:29 says, "And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold and inherit eternal life." So this is not only a two-way agreement, Jesus Christ here in Matthew is saying, look, if you have left houses, brothers, sisters, father, mother, wife, or lands, or children, for my name's sake, you will receive a hundredfold increase and eternal life. And see, this next verse is just going to, it's going to reinforce that, but in a bigger way. See, people in the world, they say that Christians are suckers because they say that someone convinced you to look to the hereafter because you're receiving absolutely nothing here on earth. And that's just not true. Look at what it says here in Mark 10:29-30. It says, so Jesus answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or land for my name's sake and the gospel's sake, who shall not receive a hundredfold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the time to come, eternal life. And see, this is an interesting thing to me because he says, look, you're going to receive a hundredfold increase now when you forsake house and brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for the sake of the name of Jesus Christ and the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, right? You'll receive a hundredfold increase now in this time. And he says, look, you're going to get this houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, right? Those things have an obligation, a price to pay. It says, yeah, you'll get those things, but with the persecutions that come with those things, right? But it says in the age to come, you'll get eternal life, right? So it's not necessarily going to be easy, but that's a part of the hundredfold increase. See, God says he prepares his table in the presence of our enemies. So we can't be afraid of the presence of our enemies because that's one of the ways God's getting glory is by daring others to try to touch his blessings to us. They can't, right? Look what it says in Luke 6:38. Given it will be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you, telling us, don't be stingy. Trust me. Watch. Look. See, 1 Corinthians 16:1-2 talks about the collection for the saints. Now, concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given orders to the churches of Galatia, so you must do also. On the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there may be no collections when I come. So he's saying, look, you go ahead and you put aside something for those in need, for the widows, for the orphans, for the fatherless, for the foreigners. And then when those things are there, as the opportunity arises, you can distribute. Look at what it says. 2 Corinthians 9:6-8, it says, but this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. And so what God is saying here is, look, don't give out of necessity. Don't give because, oh, I've got to give this 10%. No, that's the Old Testament, right? God is telling us to give as we purpose in our heart. He's telling us to desire to give more, desire to be free. Let our hands open up like the rich guy, right? The rich Jewish guy, not the guy who was grasping on every little thing he had, right? For God loves a cheerful giver. And it says God is able to make all grace abound toward you. You know what God's grace is? God's grace is his unmerited favor and his enabling power. So we know God has cattle on 1,000 hills. Everything is his. So whatever you need to fulfill your assignment for God, God is able to give it to you. And it says his grace is going to abound to you so that You'll have all sufficiency, everything you need in all things, so that you may have an abundance for every good work. And see, and when your desire is to do the good works of God, God's going to make sure you have what you need, because you're going to glorify him. You're going to be an extension of his hand in the earth. You're going to be caring for the widows and the orphans and the fatherless and the poor and the foreigners. You're going to be caring for the ministers of God, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers who are equipping the saints. And you're going to be blessed by God in such an unending way that you're going to have more than enough overflow to meet the needs of all those in connection with you. See, church is not a club. We are not paying dues. God is not concerned about the light bill of the church or the mortgage or anything else that's associated with it, because that's God's responsibility. We are not to be begging people to do God's job. God has that covered when we obey God. So we have to get our heart right. We got to get our time right. And then we'll see our money have the appropriate effect without us turning money into a god. Look at what it says in Colossians 3:23-24. It says, "And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ." Jesus Christ is our master. That means we do what he says and as he does what the Father says. See, God tells him what to do. He tells the Holy Spirit what to do. Holy Spirit tells us, and we do it. We are led by the Holy Spirit, right? And whatever we do it heartily to the Lord. So we're not seeking to please men. We're not. As a matter of fact, that's one of the pitfalls. If you've ever gone to any church and you're a giver, and you give faithfully and you give a lot, you're going to get the tares. And the tares are the people who want you to be a part of their church because they want your money. And they're going to give you titles. They're going to give you things to do. They're going to give you pats on the back. They're going to do everything they do not to lose you because they want your cash as a part of their steady, reliable cash flow. And it's your faithfulness that is appealing to them, but from a carnal perspective. And what's bad about this is it creates a club dynamic, and people are looking to serve money, please people, lean to their own understanding and operate out of their own limited strength instead of pleasing God and serving God and trusting God and obeying God by operating out of the full unlimited power of the Holy Spirit. So now what we do heartily as unto the Lord and not to men. This last verse, I'm going to end our teaching right here with this, in saying 3 John 2, pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. We have to understand that it's God's will for us to prosper in all things and be in health just as our soul prospers. Our soul is our heart, our mind, will, and emotions, which is a part of our heart, and that is our mind, will, and emotions need to be focused on loving God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then it needs to be focused on loving ourselves so that we can then love others for real and give to those who could never pay us back. Give to those who don't know God yet, who will get to experience the hand of God through us, and in such a way that they'll the face of God so that they can be as blessed as we are and they can understand why they need to be in relationship with God through making God's son Jesus Christ their master the way that we made God's son Jesus Christ our master. And we live a more than abundant life mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally, and financially. And we have the power of the Holy Spirit within us that allows us to speak in tongues, interpret, prophesy, receive word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits, and operate supernatural acts of faith, miracles, and gifts of healing as our faith allows us to do that. And as we believe to do that, and the more that we operate out of the power power of the Holy Spirit, the more fruit of the Spirit that you're going to see manifested in our life of love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, patience, faithfulness, and self-control, so that all those blessings that we read about in the Old Testament to the children of Israel, we're going to experience that ourselves in every dimension of our life. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word that's gone forth tonight. I thank you for you blessing someone with something that they needed to hear to inspire them to come closer in their relationship with you, God. Father, I thank you for your goodness and your graciousness to us, and I thank you for you continuing to make a way where there is no way. Thank you for this right now. In the name of your son, Jesus Christ, amen. And as always, from the Spirit Alive Network and your host, Lester Carver, with Tuesday night teachings, be ye transformed.
Lord, it's gonna rain. It's gonna rain. You better get ready and bear this in mind. God sure knows, showed him the rainbow sign. He said it won't be water, but fire next time. Listen, way back in the Bible days, Noah told the people it's gonna rain. But when he told them, they paid him no mind. And when it happened, they was left behind. I tell you, it's gonna rain. Get ready, it's gonna rain. Lord, you better get ready and bear this in mind. God sure knows, show him the rainbow sign. He said it won't be water, but by the next time. Listen, church, they tell me when the water began to pour, they knocked on the window, they knocked on the door. They didn't know exactly what to do. Now you don't want this to happen to you. I tell you, it's gonna rain. Do you believe it's gonna rain? Lord, you better get ready and bear this in mind. God sure knows the rainbow sign. He said it won't be water, but fire next time.
This is what Noah told.
Noah said, I'm sorry, my friend. God got the key. You can't get in. If something don't happen to the heart of man, the same thing is gonna happen again. I tell you, it's gonna rain. Children, it's gonna rain. You better. God showed him the rainbow.